Welcome to Truth News Network. Today we're going to start a new feature. Our biggest stories, you're always going to see those right here in writing. But additionally, for those of the most important stories, we're going to add an audible version of each of them. How's that going to work? At the very top of each of these big stories, there'll be an icon, that very familiar circle with a blue arrow in the middle of it that you see every Saturday in our bullet points offering. That link, that circle with the blue arrow, will appear with the words audible version. So if you'd rather hear than read these stories, just click on the link, turn the volume up on your computer or phone, and take a listen. So let's just get right to it. How about today's story? It's titled, It's Time You Know Who Anthony Fauci Really Is. Fauci's the highest paid federal employee in the U.S., and he makes $437,000 a year. 68% of that, by the way, comes from bioweapons research. Instead of safeguarding our public health, Dr. Fauci turned to the National Institutes of Health. He turned it into an incubator for pharmaceutical products. And what he did was sold the whole country to the drug industry. Fauci has had his hand in creating the vaccine gold rush. In 2000, he met with Bill Gates. Gates asked to partner with the NIH in an agreement to vaccinate the world with a battery of new vaccines. In 2009, this agreement was even given a name and branded as the Decade of Vaccines, the objective of which was to implement mandatory vaccinations for every adult and child, every one of them on the planet, by the year 2020. One of the darkest stains on Fauci's career, that's aside from his role in COVID-19 and our pandemic, was his handling of the HIV epidemic. Suppressing the use of repurposed drugs, Fauci, he zeroed in on AZT during HIV/AIDS. AZT is a toxic drug that has killed an estimated 300,000 AIDS patients. The similarities between the AZT scandal and what's happening today with the COVID jab and remdesivir are striking. Again, Fauci has suppressed all treatments using inexpensive and non-toxic drugs like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. U.S. taxpayers have paid for the research, and the drug companies have raked in the profits, all having zero liability for injuries and deaths from the vaccines. This is from an interview, this story today, with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is an environmental activist. He's an attorney turned ultimate freedom fighter, and his latest book, The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. And it's a must read for you folks. If you want to know more about the behind the scenes of this giant fraud, I can only say get the book. And we could talk for hours, not cover but a fraction of what is in it, which Kennedy calls a devastating indictment of Tony Fauci. In a nutshell, Kennedy describes how Fauci turned the NIH into that incubator for pharmaceutical products, and he basically sold the entire country to the drug industry. It's a well-referenced record of his history of decimating human health and exposes him as a self-serving charlatan. Kennedy said, Tony Fauci basically created this template that he then used over the next 45 years to develop toxic drug after toxic drug. He killed early treatment, killed any protocol that competed with his pharmaceutical enterprise, and a lot of people have died as a direct result. Kennedy, wow. I particularly enjoyed how Kennedy placed Fauci in the context of Rockefeller's legacy with respect to Bill Gates, who developed an alliance with Fauci over 20 years ago. Rockefeller set us on a course of toxic medicine synthesized from the byproducts of the oil refinery process a century ago. Gates picked right up where he left off and then collaborated heavily with Fauci. So Fauci, in turn, has had a hand in creating the vaccine gold rush. In 2000, he met with Bill Gates. Gates asked to partner with the NIH in an agreement to vaccinate the entire population of the world with a battery of new vaccines. In 2009, this agreement was rebranded as the Decade of Vaccines, the objective of which was to implement those mandatory vaccinations for every adult and child on the planet. And their target year was 2020. I show how they use the pandemic situations. This is Kennedy, working very close with the intelligence agencies, with the big media companies, and the major pharmaceutical companies to make that happen. Gates calls what he does philanthropy capitalism, the idea that you can use philanthropy to make money. He had a foundation where he has sheltered about $50 billion in tax-free money, and he continues to have absolute control over it. He uses that money to gain control of public health agencies in our country and even the World Health Organization. He's created a lot of his own organizations with Dr. Fauci and a lot of these quasi-governmental agencies that people think are governmental. They're actually front groups of the pharmaceutical industry, like Gavi and CEPI. He uses this battery in the control of the WHO to set pharmaceutical or medical policy, public health policy around the globe, in a way that maximizes the profits from his stakeholding in these big pharmaceutical companies. I also show, Kennedy said, he's simultaneously doing the same thing to control the global food supply. He's really trying to change both public health and food policies in ways that benefit corporations that he's invested in and that he's partnered with. Gates didn't lure Fauci to the dark side, however. Fauci had already spent decades playing with people's lives, sacrificing public health for profit. One of the darkest stains on Fauci's career, aside from his role in the COVID pandemic, was his handling of the HIV epidemic. The first cases of AIDS surfaced in 1981. Initially, the AIDS program was run by the National Cancer Institute, a separate institute inside the Health and Human Services Department. The general belief was that AIDS had a chemical etiology caused by drug use. This all changed when the HIV virus was discovered. Fauci started working for the NIH way back in 1968. He started as a clinical associate in the Laboratory of Clinical Investigation at the National Institute for Allergy and Infectious Diseases. It's abbreviated the NIAID. He became director of that entity in 1984, the year after the discovery of the HIV virus, and he was appointed director of the Office of AIDS Research in 1988 when that office was established. As explained by Kennedy, Fauci essentially, he built the NIAID around an AIDS drug called AZT. AZT, and again, this is Kennedy talking, AZT was a chemotherapy formulation that was so toxic, it killed all the rats when they gave it to them. The inventor of AZT felt that it was unsafe for any human use, so he didn't even patent it. Very early on, the National Cancer Institute had found that when you put AZT in a culture of HIV, that killed the HIV, not surprisingly. It killed anything that it touched. And so Fauci partnered with the manufacturer of AZT. Go figure. He guided that formulation through the regulatory process and tried to fast-track it. He cheated terribly in the clinical trials. Sound familiar? In the clinical trials, it killed everybody. Not literally, but almost. It will kill everybody who takes it. But he was able to keep the people in the treatment group alive by giving them huge numbers of blood transfusions. And it does keep them alive for the 8 weeks in the test. And based upon that 8-week trial, he got approved for AZT. That process he did was unprecedented. As Kay Mullis, who won the Nobel Prize for discovering the polymerase chain reaction, otherwise known as the PCR technique, said with any chemotherapy drug, you're supposed to give it to somebody for 2 weeks. Chemotherapy is designed to kill every cell in the body, but hopefully it'll kill tumors first, and you can then take the person off it. The tumor dies if you time it right, and the person doesn't die. If you put somebody on that for life, like Tony Fauci was literally doing, every one of them is going to die. And that's what happened. Meanwhile, there were a lot of drugs at the time that were being repurposed. These drugs that we mentioned, like hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin, used now against COVID-19. Local community-based doctors in San Francisco and New York who were treating the AIDS community were finding these drugs treated the symptoms of AIDS. And they stopped people from dying. Go figure. Fauci, however, made a deliberate crusade to sabotage that, to make sure they were not available to sick people. Why? Well, that was in order to make sure that AZT would be the only solution. And I think it probably will not surprise you that AZT was the most expensive drug in history. It cost $10,000 for a one-year supply, while costing, by the way, just $5 per dose to the manufacturer. Plus, U.S. taxpayers paid for all of the research and development of AZT. Tony Fauci basically created this template that he then used over the next 45 years, and he used it to develop toxic drug after toxic drug. He killed early treatment, killed any protocol that competed with this pharmaceutical enterprise. And a lot of people have died as a result. Although a bonanza of money was made with AZT, it pales in comparison to Pfizer making out like a bandit with its COVID shot. The U.S. taxpayers paid $20 billion to fund the research and another $10 billion to market the COVID jab. Pfizer created the best-selling drug in the world and is going to make $35 billion from it this year. Even better, unlike AZT, this is absolutely risk-free, and Pfizer can never be sued for injuries to anyone from their COVID-19 vaccine. Everything in Fauci's career is Groundhog Day. You know what that means. An estimated 330,000 people have died from AZT alone. Overall, the similarities between the AZT scandal and what's happening today with the COVID jab and remdesivir, they're identical. Again, Fauci has discouraged the use of any prevention for COVID-19 and any treatment using inexpensive and relatively non-toxic drugs such as hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin. U.S. taxpayers funded the research. Drug companies made an estimated $100 billion in profits from the shots in just 1 year, all while having zero liability for injuries and deaths, even as people are being coerced into taking them. Everything in Tony Fauci's career is Groundhog Day, Kennedy said. Again and again and again, he is repeating the same behavior, and it's paying off. And he has this way of talking where he never really says anything, and this habit of just lying and lying and lying. He said, I know a lot about what happened during the HIV crisis because my uncle, and his uncle was Ted Kennedy, was chair of a health committee at the time. Teddy was the first presidential candidate to court the gay vote, and I was running his campaign. In the health committee, his primary concerns for most of the time was AIDS. And I talk about that in my book, Kennedy said. Finally, Fauci was called in front of Congress and was just excoriated. Now, this is back then. Henry Waxman and all of these well-known Democratic congressmen were saying, what the hell are you doing? You've produced nothing. You're totally incompetent. After that, his career was over. And he decided at that point, okay, I'm going to work on getting these repurposed drugs on the market. He did that for a couple of years, and he had a project, which was a dual-track project where they could, without going through the clinical trials and FDA randomized placebo-controlled trials, they could get approval for these drugs so that people could get insurance for them and pay for them. So I was deeply involved in this for many, many years, and I've known Tony Fauci for a long, long time. I have insights on who he really is that most liberal Democrats are utterly ignorant of. He's the opposite of everything they believe. He's the architect who turned our public health system over to the pharmaceutical industry. He does not do public health. And there is no metric at NIH where they look and say, we are improving public health. The only metric they have is, how many vaccines have we given? How many pharmaceutical drugs have we sold? How much kickback money are we getting into the agency? As I explained in the book, he said, this agency has become an incubator for the pharmaceutical industry. Gain of function research under Fauci's watch. Fauci is responsible for an annual budget of about $6.1 billion. He gets another $1.6 billion from the military. For what? To do bioweapons research. That's where 68% of his $437,000 a year salary comes from. Fauci is the highest paid federal employee in the U.S. Second highest is the president at $400,000 a year. That's why he had to do that gain of function shenanigan in Wuhan, Kennedy says. He had to do it because he had to hold on to his salary. Most of his salary comes from bioweapons research. Gain-of-function research has never provided a single scientific or medical development that has assisted us in responding to pandemics. Not one. But Fauci continues to do it because it's critical to his salary. And it's critical to that funding stream. Now, the bulk of NIAID's funding was intended to be used to study American health and to improve it, to eliminate infectious allergic diseases and autoimmune diseases. Instead, under Fauci's watch, the chronic disease epidemic has exploded. This despite the fact that Fauci, Gates, and the UK Wellcome Trust, they control 63% of the biomedical research on Earth through their funding. Over his career, Fauci alone has distributed more than $930 billion in research grants through NIAID. You could say they controlled all of it, really, because they also have the capacity to dry up funding to projects they don't want to be done. Case in point, something happened in 1989, triggering a whole series of epidemics: autism, food allergies, Tourette syndrome, narcolepsy, ADD, ADHD, speech delay, language delay, rheumatoid arthritis, and autoimmune diseases like juvenile diabetes. All of these sprang up right around 1989. Why? What caused this? Well, it's Fauci's job to find out. But guess what? He refuses to, and he blocks anyone else from digging too deep. Tony Fauci's job is to say, why did that happen? It has to be an environmental toxin. Genes don't cause epidemics. They provide the vulnerability, but they cannot cause an epidemic. You need an environmental toxin. All we have to do is figure out which one started in 89 and became ubiquitous the same year. But if anybody tries to do that study, Fauci will ruin their career. Top suspects include vaccines, which dramatically increased in 89, and virtually all of the chronic diseases that have skyrocketed are listed as potential side effects on the manufacturer's inserts. The herbicide glyphosate also became ubiquitous around that time and really exploded in 1993 when Roundup Ready was invented. GMOs, other pesticides, ultrasound, and PFOAs or other potential culprits. Our kids are swimming around in a toxic soup, And it could be all of those things, or it could be one or another. But it's easy to find out. You just do the science. And that science is easy to do, but it will never be done as long as Tony Fauci's in charge, because he doesn't want us to know. Because those are the industries he has survived by protecting, Kennedy says. So, what about Fauci and Big Pharma? In the book, Kennedy goes on to explain how Fauci works on behalf of Big Pharma and why he's become so important for the drug industry. Between 2009 and 2016, about 230 drugs were approved by the FDA, all of which came out of his, Fauci's, shop. So he is an incubator for pharma. And here's what he does. At his lab, he has petri dishes filled with every virus imaginable and has scientists that are messing around with different molecules, different poisons, and they'll drop those poisons into a petri dish and see if it kills the culture. If it kills the culture, then he has a potential antiviral drug. What's next? Well, they give it to rats and see if it kills the rats. If most of the rats survive, now you have a potential antiviral that may work in humans. What next? He farms it out to a big university. Now, the person it goes to at the university is somebody very powerful. It's the dean of a medical school or the chair of one of the departments, and they run the clinical trials, which is extremely lucrative. So they'll do the phase one trial, and they'll recruit maybe 100 people for that trial. Fauci gives that principal investigator maybe $20,000 per recruit. The university skims off 50 to 75% of that. So now that university is hooked into this financial merry-go-round system. Then, if the drug works in phase one and phase two, then they have to bring in big groups of people, 10,000 people, and you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. They have to bring in a pharmaceutical company that now takes control of about half the patent. Tony Fauci's agency, listen to this, folks, Fauci's agency keeps a share of the patent on all these medications. For example, they now collect royalties on the Moderna vaccine. The NIAID gets half the royalties, billions of dollars. The university researcher keeps some of the patents. So he is now permanently attached to Tony Fauci and will do anything he says. And the university itself is getting some of that patent. So it's hundreds of millions of dollars that are going to these universities every year. That's in addition to the grants that he's giving. And he can cut all that off if somebody at the university does the wrong study or doesn't play the game. Once the drug goes through phase three, it goes to the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA. Fauci says, well, those are independent scientists over at FDA. Well, the panel is called VRBPAC, Vaccines and Related Biological Products Advisory Committee. And they're not people who work for the FDA. They're outside people who are brought in. That's true. But where are they brought in from? They're Tony Fauci's principal investigators from all the universities who are working on his other projects, and they're brought in to rubber stamp the drug. They okay it and give it a license because they know next year their drug is going to be in front of that committee, and they are going to want the committee to rubber stamp them. So that committee never says no. It always greenlights everything. And it's completely controlled by Fauci. He controls the entire process. Every expert you see on CNN is on Tony Fauci's payroll. And of course, CNN will never tell you that. It will say This is an independent virologist. He's an immunologist at Baylor University or Stanford or Harvard. They're not telling you where that guy's bread is being buttered and that the person who's buttering it is Tony Fauci, and he's buttering it with your taxpayer dollars. The whole system is fixed. But Fauci's past and his rotten character are catching up with him. As more and more of Fauci's lies and his funding of sadistic experiments on animals and aborted fetuses are coming to light, Kennedy predicts Fauci will be forced to resign, especially as the book comes out and people really start to understand what he's been up to all these years. Kennedy says, nobody who was not a sadist in his soul would allow the beagles being eaten by sandflies experiment to happen, Kennedy says. Yet Tony Fauci deemed that the best use for $450,000 of our taxpayer dollars with all of the screaming needs in public health. But it's not just $450,000. Millions and millions of dollars he has put into the sadistic experiments where they're torturing animals to death like you see in a schoolyard with little boys who don't know any better and needs to be told, you don't do that to another creature. Fauci doesn't have that instinct. It's lacking. It explains what he has done during COVID, denying early treatment in millions of Americans, forcing them to suffer and die in their homes, or on ventilators and in remdesivir, which is a deadly toxic drug, rather than get treated and be healthy. And punishing, silencing, censoring, de-licensing, and discrediting any doctor who tries to say, hey, wait a minute, I've been treating patients, and my patients aren't dying because I'm using hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin and an entire battery of repurposed drugs that we now know treat virtually all COVID cases. 70 to 90% of COVID deaths and hospitalizations could have been prevented, and there are hundreds of studies that support that. Yet, he forbids people from doing it. That is a sociopath. Is shuttering a million businesses, is that really going to save lives? There's no study, not a single study that indicated that it would. We have 4.2% of the global population, and we have 14.5% of the deaths. Why is anybody listening to this guy? There's not a health minister in the world who has a worse track record than does Tony Fauci. There are many countries that had 1/100th of our death rate per million in population. And guess what? Those are mainly the African and Asian countries that, as a matter of course, are given, guess, ivermectin for river blindness and hydroxychloroquine for malaria control. They already have the drugs. They've been using them effectively for as long as 60 years. In support of Kennedy's assertion that Fauci will be forced to resign, all you must do is view his recent grilling on November 4, 2021 by Senator Rand Paul in front of a congressional senatorial committee. What is most impressive are the comments, which are virtually unanimously disparaging Fauci. Fauci's lethal illegal experiments on children. In his book, Kennedy includes a chapter on some of the animal trials Fauci funded. He also tells a far grimmer story where the guinea pigs were black and Hispanic children. At least 85 of these children died, but the number could be as high as 1,000 or so. Fauci got these children by arranging for foster care programs in New York and six other states to assign children who had lost their parents to AIDS to participate in these drug studies. These children had no guardian, so they were illegal studies. To do a clinical trial on children, you need to have a guardian appointed who puts their interests first ahead of the drug companies. Fauci didn't want that, so he allowed these studies to go forward without a legal guardian for any of these kids. No one was watching out for them. The trials weren't even done by licensed medical professionals. They were mainly Dominican immigrants who were deeply compassionate, who discovered in the middle that they were actually being hired to treat these children as guinea pigs, and they were killing huge numbers of them. Many of the kids didn't even have HIV, so they had no possible benefit from the drug, and that's illegal. Yet Fauci got away with it all. I believe there was a congressional investigation for a brief time, but like everything that gets near him, it kind of peters out. The BBC did a documentary on these kids back in 2004 called Guinea Pig Kids. They interviewed these children, one who said, "I took the drugs. They made me sick. I was vomiting. I couldn't eat. I was tired all the time. It was painful, and I refused to take more." And when they refused, they were sent to another of Tony Fauci's principal investigators at Columbia Presbyterian, who installed a feeding tube to force-feed these kids these toxic chemotherapy drugs that they refused to take. As bad as Beaglegate is, what he did to these black and Hispanic children is even worse. And then there's COVID-19, the culmination of Fauci's criminal enterprise. As for the COVID pandemic, Kennedy in the book equates it to the culmination of Fauci's career. He recounts how Fauci has been a key figure in pandemic planning, not necessarily how to prevent one, but how to create one. As infectious disease mortality had dropped so dramatically that infectious diseases were becoming an increasingly low priority. Can't let that happen in Fauci world. So far, every single pandemic that has been dramatized had turned out to be a complete fraud. And the same can now be said for COVID. All the while, billions of dollars were spent on vaccines. They've taken all of these lessons they learned from all the other fake pandemics and rolled it into coronavirus, Kennedy says. Now, I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that coronavirus is not a pandemic or that it doesn't kill a lot of people. It does. But we've all been manipulated by an exaggeration of cases, the exaggeration of deaths, the obscuring of data, all of the manipulations that they've done to us. In the book, I have a picture that somebody got from a Freedom of Information Act, a FOIA request. It's a March Madness graph of all the different pandemics, fake pandemics, Fauci has tried during his career, all converging with the grand winner being coronavirus. And Fauci signed the picture. Somebody in his staff made it. But it was Tony Fauci's triumph. Winning March Madness. It's basically a picture of his career, him trying every 3 or 4 years a new fake pandemic, and finally hitting on all 8 cylinders with coronavirus. It's like it's a joke, and we are the punchline. Here's what Kennedy said. Here's what I would say to people. We have to stop this. This is the hill that we all have to die on. If you are a parent and you let them give this COVID shot to your child, you're not doing your job as a parent. If you're a doctor, you're committing malpractice to give this to a child. We all need to resist. I would say that every American who sees what's happening has to start engaging in civil disobedience every day. And that may mean going to a store and telling them if they demand a vaccine passport, that you are not going to patronize that store anymore. It may mean resisting on the job. Do not quit. Make them fire you, because then you have a lawsuit. Right now, the best thing is to make them fire you for not taking an emergency use authorization vaccine, because there are no approved vaccines in this country available to any American. It was a myth. It was a hoax. It was a chicanery for them to say, "We approved this Comirnaty vaccine." Listen, folks, listen closely. If you go on Pfizer's website today, it will tell you, quote, "We do not make Comirnaty available in the United States. Why are they trying to go after our kids? Here's why. The vaccines can only get liability protection once they are approved. The only way they get liability protection is if they're on the child's vaccination schedule. And then, once the CDC votes them onto the child vaccination schedule, then they get liability protection, even for adults. One lawsuit can bankrupt the company if it did not have liability protection. So that's why they're going after our kids. They need it to get that liability protection. And we need to stop them from the collateral damage they're going to cause to an entire generation of children. 26 million children will get a vaccine that's been tested on only 1,300 kids with catastrophic results. Folks, to learn more, pick up a copy of that book, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s book, The Real Anthony Fauci, Bill Gates, Big Pharma, and the Global War on Democracy and Public Health. You don't want to miss this fascinating and carefully researched book. And it always, from here, Truth News Network, truthnewsnet.org, thank you for being a part of this. Let us know how you feel. Dan@truthnewsnet.org. Dan@truthnewsnet.org. So long, everybody.